This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour 2 of Talk Sports is off and under Ray. What do you got for us, Draven?
We will start with Machine Gun Kelly.
Why?
MGK. Because he's launching his own nail polish brand. Cam, get your own nail polish.
Okay. Not from MGK, though.
Yeah, apparently he is launching a, again, it's a nail polish brand. This is for so-called, newbies, creators, introverts.
He's just going to list every type of person and say, this is made for you.
I guess. But, I think the whole point of the nail polish, though.
Do you like pizza? This nail polish is for you. Dogs? You a puppy guy? This nail polish is for you.
We got something for you.
Do you enjoy sex? Do you wish you could have more sex? This nail polish is for you.
Is this nail polish for you, John?
Is it nail polish or like... Like it, when I saw it, it looks like it was add-ons, like it was extended, like
that's what this
fake
looks
fingernails.
Like. I also saw like actual nail polish too, so I think maybe like a little bit of both.
Nah, it's not for me.
Not for you?
No, I'm not an introvert. I don't like sex. I don't wish I was having more sex. I wish I was having less sex, actually.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just fatigued.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not for me.
Okay.
Do like puppies,
sure.
Though.
Just making sure.
Actually, I prefer the old dogs to puppies, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, puppies get on my nerves.
Yeah, I need my dog to
too
be at
barky,
least like 4 years
too,
old.
Too
yeah.
Jumpy.
Yeah.
Like a just old dog, just lay around.
Yeah.
Hang out with me. Hang out with
you
me.
Even, you do seem too impatient for a puppy.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah.
I have the patience for a
Please
cat.
Don't have kids.
Cat was the worst. 0-7, Texas Southern. Beating Florida. How about it? Hey, how about it? Do a gator chop for me, John.
Nope.
Come on, do one for me. 0-7. This is actually since 1980. There it is. Oh.
Yeah, throw in the John Kelly
little, yeah, I like it. The previous worst record by any team that that defeated an AP-ranked opponent was 0-3. Louisville over Maryland. That was 1980.
They didn't just get beat. They got their ass beat.
69-54. Ooh.
If Florida had been off to a pretty good start for the year, too, that's that's a resume crippling loss.
Which I will say, Texas Southern's played in a lot of close games. I looked at their schedule. Are they independent? Are they in a conference? They played a lot
of
tough
games. No, they're in the SWAC.
Played a lot of tough games. I was like, oh, what are they doing with all this
schedule? You know, people schedule the small
schools.
Yeah,
I guess. But I mean,
speaking of the SWAC, McNeese State is in the SWAC, right, Cam?
I think they're in are they not in the MEAC, maybe?
I don't know, man.
I'm not sure.
Is the MEAC also an all black school?
Yeah, there's a lot of them in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought McNeese State is all black. LSU, Brian Kelly is hiring McNeese State head coach Frank Wilson, which I guess he has experience at LSU, but also was a head coach. He's bringing him there to leave his head coaching position to come and help him recruit the state of Louisiana. So Brian Kelly able to at least get a couple guys on his staff.
They are in the Southland Conference.
Southland, okay.
No. I didn't even know that was a conference.
Yeah.
To be 100% honest with you.
I thought McNeese State was
there you go, that. Brian Kelly. Big name. Head coach for McNeese State. He's going to do what? What'd you say? OC?
No. Just hiring him as just says
assistant.
to his staff. Yeah. Says Wilson's one of the best recruiters of Louisiana of all time, according to like the database. He's able to really keep those guys in state. And, yep, he will he'll be on his on-field staff, but I don't know if he has a role just yet.
They also hired
assistant role and head up recruiting. So yeah.
Was it the strength and conditioning coach came back from Notre Dame down to LSU?
Okay.
So I guess that was the only coach he could really get to come with him, but he got somebody.
In his 6 years as LSU's recruiting coordinator, the Tigers finished inside the top 10 five times, including the number 2 rated class in 2014. that had the number one rated player, Leonard Fournette, and number one rated receiver, Malachi Dupree. Mm. He had six running backs selected in the draft. Nah, either way. Okay. People are acting like it's a big deal. So
we had some awards handed out. Home Depot Coach of the Year is?
Got to be Fickell, right?
Luke Fickell. Indeed.
Nice.
Yeah, really tough of him to navigate that schedule, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Coach of the Year.
Should be Dave Aranda.
Come on. We also had our Heisman finalist.
Who are the finalists here?
Announced as well. No surprise, Bryce Young.
Bryce Young's going to win. Who else? Mm-hmm. Be funny. There's like, actually, no one else is coming. Bryce is yours. This is not. Yeah. Can we save the money this year? Like, we don't. No one wants to.
What about anybody giving maybe Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end for Michigan?
I don't think he'll win it.
A shot, maybe?
He may get like second just for the narrative.
Probably get second. That's what I was saying. Because the other two are Kenny Pickett, which I don't, you know, and then C.J. Stroud from Ohio State.
Oh, wow. So the linebacker from Alabama didn't get invited? Mm-mm. They had like 15 sacks and like.
Oh, no. Nope. Those were your four.
It's kind of surprising. I thought, okay.
Bryce Young's, we all.
Yeah, I mean, he was a minus.
Is there any even debate at this point who's going
to
win it?
I mean, he was a minus 2,000 favorite to win it. So, I mean, it seems like it's his.
Okay.
Will Anderson Jr. was who I was talking about. Hmm. 15 and a half sacks. 52 tackles. Had a bunch of tackles for loss. Either way, whatever. Alabama put out a big graphic for him comparing his stats to like the Bosa brothers and Chase Young. And either way. Aiden Hutchinson's a beast, too. So.
No, I was going to say he's a stud. He's had a great year as well. Manny Diaz, I told you, John, this guy, he was going to be mad. He was going to be upset. Oh, he's going to get his buyout. He'll be fine. He's upset.
I knew he was going to be upset. I just said I don't feel bad for him. Of course he's going to be upset. He's going to feel like he was wronged. And
I'm disappointed in the university's decision and the manner which they, you know, it played out over the last few weeks. And the uncertainty impacted her team, staff, families.
I would actually, if I'm also a Manny Diaz, I'd probably be mad that, like,
for that,
you
for
fire
that,
me, and then you immediately are like, yeah, we're going to donate, and we're going to raise all this money, and, like, we're going to increase spending at football, and we're going to update our facilities. We're going to do all this stuff for Mario Cristobal. I'm just like, if you'd have given me that same stuff, I could have made some things happen. But either way, I guess. No, of course he's mad. Feels disrespected. Feels like he was turning it around.
No surprise. I mean, they did handle all that. I got some good news for Tennessee. Tennessee football recruiting. Transfer, too. Justin Williams, AKJ Will. Down to his top two, John. Four-star running back from down in Georgia. Down to Auburn in Tennessee.
You say the transfer?
No. Oh. I said I got news about a transfer as well. This guy is a class of 2022.
That's what I was going to say. I thought this running back was
class 22 from Georgia. And, he's come down to his top two. So
247 Sports Composite has him as a four-star, ranked as the 348th best player in the country. Would be one of Tennessee's better recruits.
Yeah.
And running back. I mean, Tennessee, obviously you need a lot of running backs. Those are position. Those are guys that you can put at other positions. If you have to.
I got more news on the running back position. We've talked about this guy just a little bit. Zach Evans, the five-star from TCU, transferring. Apparently is planning to visit Tennessee this weekend.
Okay.
So I will say, don't get too excited. He did, apparently the reports are coming in. He visited Ole Miss, I'm assuming this past weekend, maybe last week, and he did really love his visit there as well. So, but maybe come to Rocky Top. Fall in love with the orange, you never know. So we'll see how that goes. I wonder, with no football games, what do they typically do? I mean, is it just a walk around campus? Is that what they do? They go to a basketball game? Like, I don't know.
We don't have a basketball game.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. We don't have one Saturday, right?
Or so. Do we have one Saturday?
We have one tonight, obviously, against Texas Tech.
Yep.
And then, I mean.
Well, what I used to do. When I worked with the track team around here, sometimes we'd take recruits around, and you kind of just take them on a little, like, tour of campus, show them the Vol shop, usually their parents are here, too, so you let their parents, you know, walk to the Vol shop, buy a couple things, stuff like that, show campus. I mean, usually you just, like, meet with the coaches, have, like, food catered, stuff like that.
That's kind of the basis.
We do play UNC Greensboro on Saturday.
Okay, so it'll take them to that, too, for sure, but...
I don't see why they wouldn't.
I guess show them take off the arena. It's not going to be a good crowd, though, I wouldn't think.
Nah, you wouldn't think so.
But they'll let them go take their pictures, you know, in the stadium and wear the jerseys, all that jazz. So.
Okay.
Let them go out at night,
Yeah. They'll leave him with a trusted member of the team.
They are able to kind of hit the town that night, or no?
Yeah, you get at least this is the way it was with track. Like, there would be, like, somebody that kind of was, like, the, I guess, mentor or, you know, chaperone a little bit.
Right.
And you do get, like, entertainment money for, like, if you want to go, like, take them to, like, a movie or something. Stuff like that. So, yeah, technically they could be out and about. So, probably.
We'll be out and
probably
about.
A little bit.
That's kind of a guarantee. The reason why these, two running backs could be so vital for the Vols heading into next year, running back Tyon Evans, of course, entered the transfer portal, and it is official that he is committed to Louisville.
All right. Don't really understand what the hell the point of that is.
You want to tell me what's going on here? Is he from South Carolina, right?
Yeah, I don't know. ACC is easier than SEC.
I guess.
Well,
What did Louisville go this past year? 6-6, right? Yeah, I mean,
got busted by Kentucky.
Offense was not as good as ours.
Yeah, it
seems like a really just strange move there from Tyon.
Seems like a weird decision.
Yep. I don't know. Either way, let's see. We'll move women's college basketball. Man, the big news, sad news too. The face of women's college basketball is going to be out for an extended period of time. John Paige Bucher. Knee injury, fracture in the knee. They will be out without their star guard for at least 6 to 8 weeks. Oof. Tough, man. She just, of course, got that big NIL deal with Gatorade, and now not going to be able to get to be on the court for a long time. They got some tough games, too. Play number 1 South Carolina without her. That'll be a tough one. Number 7 Louisville on the schedule.
So 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks.
She should – one of her first games back might be against us.
February – 8 weeks from today is February 1st.
Yep,
so.
And we play on February 6th, so that might be –
might be her return.
Maybe. They play Florida a couple days before us on the 3rd. So, yep, she should be back to play against Tennessee.
Of course. Which, by the way, we should have hopefully Ray Burrell back as well. We'll get, best scorer last year. Get her back. That would be a huge plus for us as well. So, and then real quick, a little NBA rumors, headlines going around. Pacers looking to rebuild. Caris LeVert, Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner all centered around trade talks and could all be moved before the deadline.
Ooh.
Pretty big names. Pretty good talents.
Miles Turner is one of the 5 or 6 best defensive players in the league, or at least, 5 or 6 best. Most impactful defensive players, the way he protects the rim. He could end up somewhere where, they are lacking that. Maybe Golden State. I don't know. If Golden State has the salaries to really match up. I wouldn't think they'd want to move Wiggins, who's their best perimeter defender.
That's some young pieces he could maybe move, though.
Rookies. I don't know if Miles Turner is worth trading either. I mean, Kuminga has a lot of balance. Maybe Moody Moses.
Well, he said the contracts, I don't think they'd match up right.
Right, yeah. I mean, I didn't know if they had any other pieces. I don't think they do. But Turner can affect somebody with his rim protection. I mean, Sabonis is an absolute, stud. I mean, Sabonis is a top 30-ish player that, you should be able to – if I was the Sixers, if I was the Blazers, I'd be thinking, hey, maybe bring Sabonis' son to Portland, Obviously, Sabonis' daddy was really good in Portland at the end of his basketball career when he came over to play in the NBA. That would make a lot of sense to pair with Dame.
I wonder if that would move the needle for Dame any, wanting to,
I don't think it'd really help him defensively, but
a second running mate, but could get some points,
If I was Dame, I'd be like, hey, just give me Miles Turner and Sabonis, we'll get Nurkic and CJ out of here.
Yeah.
And then, LeVert, the guy can give somebody some scoring off the bench, but I don't know if he plays winning basketball, so, we'll see. Go back to headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tonight, Madison Square Garden, Tennessee takes on Texas Tech in a top 20-ish matchup, depending on how you look at it, top 20, Texas Tech unranked, but Texas Tech right now listed as a top 20 team when it comes to KenPom's ratings.
I'll take the ratings into account before the polls, to be honest, so I'll consider this a top 20 matchup.
What's the difference between the KenPom and like the net ratings?
Net takes into more account just the quality of wins, I believe, Cam. Okay. Like net ratings is like the official like bracketology.
Yeah.
Okay. Listings like Texas Tech is listed 38th there. Which,
up to 37.
Okay, listen, 37, excuse me.
Yeah, I think new ones came out today.
So this would be a quad one win for 10. Actually, no, it wouldn't be.
Neutral site?
It has to be top 30 for neutral site.
Okay.
So this would be a quad two win for Tennessee.
I thought top 30 was at home.
Top 30 home, top 50 neutral, top 75. So yeah, you're right. This would be a quad one win. Sorry.
Sweet.
Sorry. Apologies to everyone who just was hurt by me saying that I messed up, and it would be a good opportunity. You said, it's a quad one win, top 50 neutral site game. They come in at number 37 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the KenPom tries to take metrics, efficiency, and your actual performance in the games versus just what the result was and your opponent. If that makes sense at all,
we're ranked 12th in the net ratings.
I think we're right around there too. I think we're 10th or 11th, somewhere between 9 and 11 on the KenPom.
Nice
rating. Okay. So I guess it's pretty similar. Tennessee's resume so far, your only loss is on a neutral site against a top ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
Villanova's number 5 right now, so that's a perfectly fine loss.
Yep.
Tennessee 1-1 in the quad one. I guess their one win would be so far over
North
Carolina. I would say it's probably going to be Colorado.
Yeah. North Carolina's ranked 26th in the
net. So maybe it is North Carolina then.
Yeah, probably.
Colorado is... Let's see if I see them.
You got to scroll a while down to get to Colorado. Colorado's at 120th right now.
Yeah, unless I missed them. Okay,
so Colorado, definitely not. It's definitely North Carolina, who has actually started playing a little bit better basketball since Tennessee kind of smacked them around.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina currently sitting 26th. In the net rating, so we thought they might stink this year, but maybe the whole ACC will stink, and they'll end up being the second-best team in the ACC. So a big chance for Tennessee against Texas Tech. Texas Tech hasn't really played anybody yet.
No. I haven't watched them really this year.
They've got a new coach that they promoted from Chris Beard's staff. However, they kind of do things drastically different. He comes in and he has basically tried to redo their offense, kind of like how Tennessee's redone. They don't want to shoot mid-range twos anymore, which they shot a lot of with Mac McClung last year. Yep. Now it's all trying to get to the rim and shoot threes, which again, that's what Tennessee's kind of doing.
A lot of upperclassmen on this team, John. A lot of seniors, a lot of juniors, a lot of guys, probably a decent amount of experience.
Well, they're also that's the thing, is they're very what you're getting tonight against Texas Tech is you're going to get a team that is very long and lengthy. Yep. I feel like their whole starting lineup's in between 6'5 and 6'8. Start a whole bunch of wings. And they also play the third most bench minutes in the country. So you're pretty much going to get two waves of guys coming in playing 24 or 25 minutes. You're going to see a lot of different guys. All but two players in their rotation are 6'6 or taller.
Wow.
Okay.
They've been really good at getting offensive rebounds. They get every game they've had so far, which keep in mind, I tell you, they haven't really played anybody. Their only top 200 opponent was Providence. They lost that game. But so far, they've posted over a 40% offensive rebounding rate or better in every single game.
Wow. Okay.
But again, quality opponent hasn't been great. So, we still got some things to learn about this team, but you kind of get an idea that they're lengthy, they're athletic.
Mm-hmm. Which makes the team dangerous.
We still have a lot to learn about our own team, man, honestly.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I think we're getting data points, but at least we've been tested. We've had a couple of tests. They really haven't had any.
No, that's true.
I have a pretty good idea of what our team is, at least players-wise, and I know how certain guys, I think they're going to respond in certain moments.
What's our what's our greatest strength on this team? What are we best at?
Kenny Chandler.
Is that it? Is that just...
And I think we should give him the props, too, because, we kind of talked about how we waited for the Villanova game to see if he could get a bucket when we needed. Yeah. Couldn't do it. Against Colorado, every time they somewhat got close, Kenny Chandler I'm going straight to the rim, and I'm going to lay it in, and you can't stop me.
That's what you want.
Every time. I will say that again tonight, too. It's the guard, man. These are where the stars come alive. This is where it happens. Like, this is where you want a guy to just have a breakout performance again.
Well, it's one of, if not the biggest, like, non-conference game this week. There's not a lot of big matchups this week. So, like, this is – you're getting Jay Billis tonight. You're getting ESPN. Like, it's going to be a national audience. And, yeah, this will be another chance for Kenny Chandler. It might be the biggest chance so far because I don't know how many people are paying attention to that Villanova game on a college football Saturday.
Same thing with the Colorado game. Nobody was watching that game. Especially just FS1.
Yeah, you know, during a championship weekend where Baylor and – you know, Oklahoma State are going head-to-head at the end of their game. So this will be like your first national audience because, I mean, the North Carolina game was on an NFL Sunday. So this is going to be the best chance to kind of showcase and see what you got. In the Garden, like you said, MSG, the most famous arena in the world.
It's where you show out. It's where you show out.
So that's your main area of concern, or not even an area of concern.
I've said this every time, too, but it's just, I mean, we saw it in the Colorado game, and I just want to see that kind of be consistent. Chandler just kind of taking over, like you said. Because I do think I think you're kind of right, man. That's kind of what we got going for us right now.
I think it's our strength.
Yeah.
It was nice to see JoJo back. James was back. You know, there was some worry about his wrist, his finger, that he might miss all of non-conference, and he was all of a sudden just back, and I thought played pretty well.
Got a decent amount of minutes, good things. Didn't he play, 25, 30 minutes?
And it seemed like every time Tennessee needed a stop, he was there to kind of make a play defensively, too. Like, I mean, he had a couple of big blocks down low. He had a couple of steals. I mean, he did your typical good version of Josiah Jordan James. Only scored 5 points. Did hit a 3, but had 4 blocks and 2 steals and, you know, 9 rebounds. That's what you want from him.
Yeah, he looks like the glue guy he's supposed to be, doing dirty work down there.
He's a perfect small, you know, he's the perfect small ball 4. And he's going to be very, very important against this Texas Tech team, who I told you, again, has everybody around basically the 6'6 or bigger range on the team.
Like, I do wonder, do you think that's going to affect Chandler any? Because after watching that Colorado game, hey, we stop this guy, we got a chance. Like, I mean, I just think they're going to be trapping, top of the key. They're going to be putting pressure on this guy, especially, like you said, with that length. I think it's – I want to say I want to see him play big with the guard, but then again, you think about it, might be having to have somebody else step up.
No, I mean, I think the length is going to be an issue. I don't know if Chandler's going to be able to get to the rim and finish over guys that I assume, if you tell me they're all 6'6 or bigger, I'm going to assume they're all kind of switchable and athletic as well. So, like, it's going to be more of a matchup. It's going to make Josiah more important. It's going to make, you know, Kumwa's going to have to kind of punish some of those guys. Fulkerson's going to have a good game. Like,
Powell's going to shoot the ball better. This is kind of the first time it's kind of like, okay, 1 for 8. I mean, you can't shoot great every time, but it's kind of his first game where he didn't shoot at least decent.
Right. I still think he's important out there to have to kind of keep the defense honest. And I thought for the most part his looks were pretty open, just didn't make them. It's an average thing, though. You go, 5 of 5 one game, 1 of 6 the next game. If you tell me you're going to have a guy shoot 6 of 11, basically, I'll take that from 3.
Yep.
But it's an average game. I mean, no one's going to shoot 100%. He's not going to shoot, 17% again. So I think you'll have him have a pretty good game. And I think Vescovi, it's another guy who is going to need to shoot well because I do think he is going to be maybe a liability on defense tonight against a pretty big lineup. How's the length going to affect him? This is a good test for Tennessee. It's an opponent that is respected.
Mm-hmm.
The metrics give them respect.
Yeah.
It looks like a quality win. It's a national audience. I'm a little worried at their length, but I mean, hey, you're going to have to, you know, go up against teams like this every now and then. So, like, it's a good test. I think it's a different look than what we've had so far from any of our other opponents. Essentially, Texas Tech is going to not really be affected by pick and rolls because they think they're just going to switch everything. It's going to create a different type of dilemma for Chandler. And I want to see, you know, in a season-long chess match, how he handles different looks.
Because, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
I think everybody's going to throw it all at him.
Yep. Which, I mean, maybe it's a night where Tennessee reverts kind of back to more of the mid-range game because you're not able to get to the rim. So how does Chandler shoot the 15-foot jumper if he can't get in? Can he get his floater working if he can't get all the way to the rim? And, again, can you maybe – I assume how Barnes is going to answer this. And maybe tonight's not the night where I can really criticize it because maybe Tennessee's only answer is to try to go big. Maybe tonight is a night where you have to have – Josiah at the three and have Fulkerson and Cumwell out there together, or even Uros out there at times, and Huntley Hatfield, mm-hmm. just because if they're all 6'6 and 6'8, that means they ain't 7 foot. So maybe you can get to the rim with bigger guys and, you know, not be affected by length, because I don't know if Tennessee has as many big wings as they do.
Yeah.
Like true. Victor Bailey, small.
Yeah.
Vescovi, small.
Powell, small.
Ziegler, small. Like, I mean, I don't feel like – is Powell small?
How tall is he?
I was going to say, I thought he was listed at like 6'5", 6'6".
Man, he doesn't look that big.
I don't know.
See, maybe it's just more
– I thought he was up around kinda, there.
He's listed as 6'6 on the internet.
Do you think he doesn't look 6'6 out there?
He doesn't.
Maybe, again, it's just more just strength and size-wise than height. I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't looked at him and thought he was small.
Yeah.
Yep.
He has a body that can compete here. Now, you know, whether or not he's going to get tested defensively, probably, so we'll see there. Yeah. But, you know, he's kind of – him and JoJo are kind of your only big wings.
I hate the big lineup, though, man. I really do.
I do, too. But, like, if Tennessee's going ultra small, like, that seems like that might be an issue. Like, if it's Ziegler, Chandler, and Vescovi out there, that seems like you're going to have three guards that are under 6'3"?
Especially, like, so offensive rebounding, something they're good at. I mean, we could probably get tore up in that area.
Because Vescovi – he's your biggest guard in that situation. He's 6'3". And Ziegler seems even smaller than Chandler, who's listed at 6 foot. So, like, it's probably going to be frustrating at times, but I don't know what Barnes' answers are tonight. Like, that's what's frustrating in moments, is because, like, I know, like, hey, this isn't working. Put something else in. Tonight, I don't know if I have the answers of what I would even want to see.
Yeah, I don't either. I just hope I'm interested to see the game plan and how you approach this, because I think these lanky, like, athletic teams are the teams that could really cause you problems, you know, in either the tournament or things like that, because those are the kind of teams you'll get, but especially with the smaller schools who have the scrappy teams and have the guys that are just run all over the place, and I want you to be able to, like, respond and play well against that kind of, you know, situation.
Yep, and Texas Tech has, you know, somewhat carried over Chris Beard's
defense.
They are really good at keeping people away from the rim. According to our friend Will Warren at statsbywill.com, Texas Tech has only allowed 26.5% of their opponent's shots to be taken at the rim. It's a really, really low rate, one of the best in the country. Even in the game they lost, they really bothered Providence's offense. It was Texas Tech's offense that really let them down.
Yeah,
their defense was there. And they do a good job of forcing turnovers. They have the fifth highest rate in the nation at forcing turnovers.
Again, I think we need to express how bad their schedule is. It's not like they're playing just weak teams or D1. I mean, they're playing Nebraska, Omaha, Incarnate Word, Prairie View,
World.
A&M.
Thank you very much.
I mean, just as bad as it gets.
They've had one game against opponents even in the top 200. So, yeah. I mean, like, they haven't played anybody, but so far they have – their defense has either gotten a lot of confidence or actually been good. I don't know. Like, I don't anticipate them turning Tennessee over on over a fourth of their possessions. That's like rec league numbers.
Yeah.
Because so far they forced their turnovers into opponents into turnovers on 27.8% of their possessions. Like, Tennessee's not going to do that. Although I will say against Colorado, Tennessee was pretty sloppy with the ball in this, you know, at the end of the first half and on. Took care of it in the first half. At one point it was like 8 turnovers for Colorado and 1 for Tennessee, and we were only up by like 3. And I was like, this doesn't seem well. This doesn't seem to be like a thing that's going well for us. It doesn't seem good. We need to get a bigger lead than that. And then all of a sudden, we started turning the ball over. But, yeah, you're right. Texas Tech has played nobody. So maybe their defense isn't as stout as the numbers show. But, again, they do carry over a philosophy from Chris Beard, who's one of the best, you know, defensive coaches in the country. I do think their length is going to travel. I know their length isn't dependent on, like, their week schedule.
Yep.
So that does create an issue. So we'll see what Tennessee is able to do to combat that. Do they stay tried and true? Does Chandler still try to get to the rim? Does he put his head down and find a way to get there? Because if he's as talented as we think he is, I still think he's going to be able to finish around the rim some.
You would think so. Yep. Hey, at least he needs to learn.
Right.
If you're going to have success either, you know, big-time college basketball and at the next level.
Does it lead to Tennessee having to shoot more mid-range twos that they kind of try to get away from? Do they get away from three-pointers and just shoot the long twos? Can they hit them if they have to? It's going to be a nice test, like I said. It's a different type of matchup. One that Tennessee should probably win, but it doesn't kill you if you lose it.
It sounds like with their defensive numbers around the rim, they're going to be crashing a lot when you get to the rim. So I think this would be a good opportunity, too, for Kenny Chandler to get in there and you know, dish it out to somebody open for threes.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. I haven't watched a ton of them, so I don't know too much about them. And like you said, they haven't really played a ton of people either. We're 3.5-point favorites.
Yep, 3.5-point favorites, which, I mean, isn't huge in a neutral site game. But again, like I said, it's one that you're supposed to win.
Yep.
Tennessee so far has been pretty good in their big games against Colorado, Texas, Villanova, and North Carolina have at least like somewhat protecting the rim. None of those have finished at 50% or better at the rim. So like Tennessee That's has good. Been able to kind of somewhat affect, despite not really having a shot blocker. You know, Pons is gone.
And that'll be the interesting thing with this length, if stopping them from finishing over you just because they have that length. So, like you said, we may have to go big just to kind of try to slow that down.
Maybe something to watch is what weakness gets exploited. Again, according to our friend Will Warren at statsaboutwill.com, Tennessee is 355th so far in the country at drawing free throws.
Oh, yeah, got to get better at that.
Offensive free throw rate, Tennessee is 355th. Texas Tech is 314th in defensive free throw rate, which means they give up a lot of free throws. So, like,
let's go get some then.
Do they keep fouling, or does this Tennessee just, like, continue to not get fouled?
I wonder why that is. What would cause you not to get fouled? It's just less aggression? Because it doesn't feel like we're not being aggressive.
It feels like we only have two guys that really go to the rim, though. Like, Chandler and Ziegler are pretty much the only two that are trying to get to the rim. Bailey's jump shooting, Muscovy's jump shooting, Powell's jump shooting, Fulgerson's soft. Kumwa's off. Euros isn't doing anything. Like, those guys aren't getting free throws.
Yep.
Now, maybe you're also not getting the benefit of the doubt, like when you're getting, you know, hit outside and you're not getting the cheap fouls. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not going to point to and blame officiating because it does seem like, you know, philosophically we're a little soft when it comes to getting to the rim, everybody except Chandler.
I'd agree with that.
So I guess we'll see how we box out tonight and how we draw fouls.
Feeling somewhat confident, not that confident.
I mean, I think Tennessee's going to win just simply because, like, I look at Texas Tech's schedule, like we've talked about, and, like, this is by far their biggest test. I do think Tennessee has more talent, but I do worry about the matchup. Like, I'm very curious to see how it goes tonight just because they're long and lanky, and we're not.
Yeah, it's kind of a contrast a little bit.
Need Josiah to be really good tonight.
Yeah, he's got to play big, rebounding.
And we need at least probably 1.5 of the bigs to step up.
Yeah, gotta keep them off the offensive boards.
Gotta have 1.5 bigs. Like Josiah, to me, he's probably the key to this game. And against Villanova, he was awful. I thought against Colorado, he was really good. If you tell me that he has the same type of performance he has against Colorado, I'll be happy with James. And that's with him only scoring 5 points in 26 minutes. But he only shot the ball 3 times. He grabbed 9 rebounds. He had 2 steals. He had 4 blocks. Like, he needs to be that player for you tonight. Again, especially whenever you look at Texas Tech's length and athleticism. Big test, though. Big test. I'm excited for it. That's ESPN tonight, right?
Prime time.
Yep.
All right.
Prime time.
There we go. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tonight is Tuesday, which means you can make it Payday Tuesday. With TNT's Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you win or you lose, Draven. FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Tuesday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game, and you'll get your $10 back, win or lose. Same game parlays let you combine the money line, point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. What are our TNT games tonight, Cameron?
Our TNT games tonight, they are
Brooklyn-Dallas.
Brooklyn, yep.
Brooklyn headed to Dallas. I believe Luka's questionable.
I was about to say, is he still out?
And Celtics at Lakers. So two pretty solid games, at least. The Nets-Mavericks will be fun, and Celtics-Lakers just at least will smack you with some nostalgia a little bit.
Both close spreads. 2 points in the Nets game.
Yep.
And then Lakers favored by 2.5 against the Celtics.
Lakers stink.
Yeah, they do.
Same game parlays are the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big time score. And again, remember, win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. It's just one of the reasons we love FanDuel Sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's easy to register, it's easy to deposit. They now accept Venmo. They offer live betting, and when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. Get $10 back every Tuesday, win or lose, with TNT Tuesdays. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code TALKSPORTS exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Any NBA news we need to hit? Cam, anything happening as we get set for TNT Tuesday?
Draymond kind of hit the Pacers rebuilding.
Which, I mean, they felt like they were 2 years late on this.
Yeah, really. A little bit.
They were on top of the world when, or not on top of the world. They were feeling good whenever, like, Oladipo was, like, having an All-NBA type of season. Then he gets hurt, and it's pretty much put them into a free fall. They are currently, what, 13th in the East, 10-16?
Yeah.
Falling behind. I thought that team would be better this year, and they're not.
Surprised they don't want to keep one of these guys to have just kind of the help build around. It's like they're shopping Sabonis and Turner. I feel like you may keep one of the two.
Well, it's weird because they didn't list Brogdon. So, like, is Brogdon, like, going to be their franchise player? Because they listed, like, Sabonis, Turner, and LeVert, but not Brogdon.
He's been pretty disappointing for them, right? Coming just since he's been in Indiana the last couple of years.
I would say so. I mean, they gave him $80 million, so they expected more. It was weird because it was almost like the rare lose-lose trade where, you know, the Bucks miss him when they let go of him. And then, you know, the Pacers aren't really happy with him. Although the last 2 years, man, he's averaged 21 points a game.
Really?
Yeah. 21 points, 6 assists. His three-point shooting's down this year at 31%. Last year it was 39%. So I don't think he's been the problem there in Indiana. I think it's just been the health, really. And then they lose Oladipo pretty much for nothing. They trade for LeVert, and then he immediately, you know, has the cancer scare and is out for the rest of that year pretty much on his kidneys. So, like, it kind of derailed him. And now with Carlisle, I guess they're going to hit the reset button and try to – Brogdon's still relatively young. They either drafted Chris Duarte or whatever from Oregon and just build around them. Sabonis and Turner both, you know, making pretty average money. I believe they're both kind of maxed out at like $19, $18 million a year.
Yeah, which isn't bad for – especially Sabonis.
I mean, you'd be happy. Yeah. I mean, really for Turner too. I mean, when you consider – guys like Steven Adams are getting basically $4 million a year. I mean, Turner's still kind of a bargain as well. So those guys should have some trade value.
Lakers? A lot of rumor with the Lakers wanting to make moves. They're always wanting to make moves.
The thing is, the Lakers don't have any damn pieces to trade back. Who are you going to trade? Westbrook?
I don't think the Pacers would be totally against that.
I mean, if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, hey, we'll give you Westbrook for we'll give you Westbrook and Taylor Horton Tucker for Sabonis and LeVert. What do you think? Huh?
Sounds like the worst trade ever.
What do you think? Hey, Chicago, we'll give you Westbrook for Alex Caruso, who he could have just re-signed. And what about you, Washington? We'll give you Westbrook for KCP and Kuzma, and you can keep Montrezl Harrell, but we'll take him back if you want us to. Just a real bad mistake for that Lakers team to kind of let their best defenders go, and then now all of a sudden you look around and they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league after being the best the last 2 years, and that kind of being their calling card. Now you look around and, like, Westbrook can't stop anybody off the dribble. Yeah.
Shocker. Yeah. Westbrook doesn't play defense. Wow.
Right.
Huh.
Just kind of changes things for them.
What a disaster. They're just lucky the West is just a big mess right now. But really, I mean,
So you're coming around that the East is better than the West, huh?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Oh, yeah. Another apology, Yomi.
Well, I got to apologize for every take I have now.
I mean, you said I was dumb for that one, too. And all of a sudden you look around, there's 2.5 good teams in the West.
I wouldn't say that.
There are 2.5 good teams. And I'm only giving the Jazz half of a good team because we know what happens to them every year in the playoffs. It's the Warriors, the Suns, half the Jazz, and everybody else.
Grizz won 5 in a row.
Grizz have won 5 in a row. Since the Hawks shocked the system and, like, beat them by 40, they have turned around and haven't lost since. Maybe they're better without Ja Morant.
Maybe. Man, they're better without Ja Morant. Charlotte's better without LaMelo.
Once some of these teams get healthy, Nuggets,
Well, they're not going to say getting healthy. I don't know if you saw, but Michael Porter Jr. had back surgery again.
What about Jamal Murray getting back soon?
I mean, Jamal Murray got – that's the thing is these seasons are so condensed. Like, Jamal Murray tore his ACL like halfway through the year, but, like, I don't think he's had a lot of time to rest since then, right? I mean, he tore it.
It was kind of late in the season, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I mean, it was like 30 games left. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I would be surprised if Jamal Murray was back before the playoffs, kind of like Kawhi Leonard.
They're really about the same. The East, you have, what, four good teams?
I think the East, you can make a case that there's six or seven good teams.
Nets, I mean, Bucks, Heat, Sixers.
I guess, I think the Bulls are actually pretty good, man.
Man, great take by me.
Yeah, no, that was a good take. I didn't see it, but
I just don't know if I still buy, man.
The Bulls got a lot of lanky playmakers, and
yeah.
So far the biggest shock of the season is probably that Billy Donovan's actually like been the best coach in the NBA so far.
He's been good. He's been good.
Like he was kind of a laughing stock at his first couple years in Oklahoma City, and then we look around, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's not very easy to coach Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. Okay, you get some guys up here that want to play defense and share the ball, and all of a sudden you look pretty good, so... I was not high on the Bulls at all. I laughed at them. I said they made more sense on paper than they do in real-life basketball. It looks like a fancy team. Mm-hmm. And actually, they've been pretty damn good.
It gives me a little bit of New York Knicks vibes from last year. Kind of a team that's going to go hard in the regular season. A lot of young players. A lot of players trying to prove something.
Sure.
And I think it's going to get to the postseason. They're going to be that 3, 4, 5 seed, and then they're just going to kind of let you down.
That might be the case.
That's what I'm seeing.
They might not have an extra gear. They might be the typical like team in the regular season that tries really hard and then, you know, kind of maxes out. But
yeah,
outside of the Knicks, like that Bulls team did the same thing, you know, with Derrick Rose, and they still make the conference finals. So, like, you could still usually do that. If you have the 2 or 3 seed, you could still probably beat your first round opponent. But I think the East is actually pretty deep. I mean, I buy the Bulls as a legitimate like 5 or 6, 4, anywhere from a 4 to 6 seed. The Bucks, Nets, I mean, the Heat, when they get back healthy, they've been pretty good.
That's probably your top three right there. I mean, if you want to throw in the Bulls, whatever, that would be my top three.
We'll see what happens with the Sixers if they ever get anybody for Ben Simmons. Maybe they can take off if they actually get an actual player. Because right now, they're just having to kind of tread water because they're, you know, missing basically their second-best player. He's never going to play for them again, but like at least you could trade him and get like a C.J. McCollum would be better than nothing. I think the Hawks... we'll be there at the end. I mean, kind of figuring out as a top 6 seed. We'll see about the Celtics. The Hornets are pretty frisky.
What do you guys kept saying before the season started? Top 2 seed?
I'm still cool with top 3.
Like 2 seed was getting thrown out there.
It's a top 3.
After the first week, I said the 2 seed was open.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see the Bulls coming, but really it's like the Sixers. Well, the Bucks are pretty terrible. All right. Well, hold on, mister. The Suns are going to miss the playoffs. Okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit, okay?
They were 1-3 in my defense.
Well, the Hawks were the 2 seed at one point, maybe.
Wasn't he just talking about how preseason predictions, too, or just throws them out the window, apparently?
Yeah.
Week to week. Knowing, especially NFL, especially, week to week is more impressive. That's my opinion.
So I think the East has, I mean, yeah, they have the favorite, the Nets, and we'll see what happens with Kyrie Irving. But after that, I mean, the Bucks. I could see the Bulls being good in the playoffs. I can see the Heat being in the playoffs. I can see the Hawks recapturing their magic. The Sixers. I mean, there's going to be some bloodbaths in the Eastern Conference, I would say. Even when you're just looking at trying to get to 10 teams, like, the Knicks are a pretty good 11 seed right now. Now, I think you'll probably take the place of the Cavs, and that'll be, like, your top 10.
Cavs, best team in the NBA against the spread.
Are they?
They were, like, 17-5-1 or something like that.
That doesn't really surprise me because their expectations were so low, but they've been pretty frisky. In the West, you start looking around trying to get to 10 teams. Like, you got Portland right there at 11-14.
Lost 3 straight.
And Sacramento at 10-14, and Minnesota at 11-13, and Denver, who's banged up, and the Mavericks, who are getting another disappointing Luka start to the season as the fat boy comes in out of shape. What is true?
What?
Spot the law. Disappointing start of the season for Luka, who was everyone's MVP pick before the season. You don't agree?
They've not been great, no, but I mean.
I'm just talking about Luka himself, not even the Mavericks. It's Luka. You can't criticize him?
I don't know if you should be calling him fat boy.
He is fat boy. He is a fat boy. At the beginning of every regular season, he comes in about 10 pounds overweight. Doughy and soft. I'm doughy and soft. I can say that.
Still scoring 25. 8-9, basically. 8-8, at least.
Yeah, that's fine. That's lower than his numbers were last year.
Still take that.
ain't going to win MVP, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting's going down across the board. Turnovers an all-time high. Doughy in the middle.
Doughy.
He's doughy. He is. He's doughy.
Doesn't mean it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. James Harden's doughy. Was doughy.
It's been kind of bad for James Harden so far this year. James Harden is having to carry the franchise. He's with Kevin Durant for a reason. So the West, I mean, again, I look at like 2.5 teams, and Grizzlies are playing well right now. I'll give it to them, 5 in a row. They're probably one of the 6 best teams in the West at this point. When you look around at Dallas, you look around at Denver, Minnesota, and Portland, like I don't see any of those teams moving up. The Lakers and Clippers kind of stink. Hell, Memphis might be a top 4 team.
As crazy as that is.
Honestly.
Yeah.
The West is pretty stinky, actually. When you start looking at it, it's pretty bad.
They've been bad this year.
It's pretty bad. If I am the Blazers, I'm like, hell, I might as well try to trade for Ben Simmons. We're right in this.
Be a damn 3 seed by the end of the day.
If I'm the Timberwolves, I'm looking around the same thing. Like, hey, get somebody in here and get some help. That's why I do think the Indiana news is pretty big because, you know, those are 2 pretty good players, 2.5 good players. I mean, LeVert could come out there and score for you if you have to. That could, you know, those guys getting sent west could, you know, reshape their playoffs. Any other stars, Cam, you feel like going to be on the move anytime soon?
Well, I saw something about – I don't think Dame's going to be on the move, but I saw something about they were having some issues there because he wants to be the highest-paid player, obviously in his mid-30s.
So he wants another big extension?
Yeah, and so Portland's kind of like
–
Is that his way of, like, demanding a trade without demanding a trade? Like, I need a new money. I need $50 million a year. And they're like, we can't pay $50 million a year because we stink.
Yeah, they're saying it's complicating their GM search because, Lillard's – wants to be extended and be the highest paid player. But yeah, if you that's gotta be a tough call to make.
If I'm a new GM, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. If I'm gonna be a GM, I'm not coming to a team and immediately, you know, shackling myself to 8 seed at highest. If I'm taking over Portland, I wanna reset and redo things. That would be my criteria for taking the job. I guess Bill kind of quiet right now in Washington. The Boston stuff kind of quiet right now. Could come back open. They continue to struggle, although at least they've been playing a little bit better. They're a 6 seed at least right now. 2 games above 500. Just waiting to see. I guess there's a little bit of a quiet right now. There's not really anybody except Ben Simmons and I guess Kyrie that are somewhat on the market with star power outside of Sabonis. If you could pick one team for Sabonis to get traded to, Cam, where would it be? Do you have one in mind?
I don't know if it's on my head.
I don't know where he makes sense at.
But
he's really, really good. He's really, really talented.
I think you kind of mentioned earlier, like he doesn't really help with defense.
I don't think I don't view him as like a negative on defense. But, I just don't view him as like a rim protector or anything.
So if you went to a team that had a good big man down there protecting, which
would he work for Ben Simmons? Would he work for Ben Simmons?
Philadelphia would that?
I think that would work.
I just don't know if you could have Embiid and Sabonis out there. Like they both get somewhat.
He's a great passer though. I will say he's a good passer for big. I mean,
and they can shoot, you know, 18 to 20 feet out, and like Embiid could sometimes hit threes. Sabonis, I believe, could sometimes hit threes.
Too, yeah. What would you do with Tobias in that situation? Would you just play big, or would you just shop him? And
I think that would work, actually. Kind of like Anthony Davis and Boogie on the same team, 2 bigs, just kind of ball-dominant bigs.
Although it worked for New Orleans that year.
Well, didn't Boogie get hurt?
Well, I mean, they started playing better before Boogie did get hurt. Like, they were playing pretty well. It was working.
Yeah, I don't know who he'd take to the next level.
For the Grizzlies, would you rather have Sabonis or Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Ooh.
Probably just keep Jaren Jackson Jr.,
right? He's been playing pretty well, right?
Yeah. I don't think he's as good as Sabonis, but maybe a ceiling Sabonis.
Would he fit in with, like the Heat down there? I don't think they have the possibility to get him. Yeah. But, yeah.
See, next I don't know what the fit is.
I don't either. But I'm sure somebody will overpay for him, or should.
From Boston. Gonna get some draft picks. And
Mavs?
Yeah, but for what if you're the Mavs? I mean...
Take Porzingis,
but
Porzingis has actually been playing pretty good this
year. Yeah, I just don't know what that would accomplish for Indiana because they're going to want like young pieces back, and I don't think maybe Jalen Brunson.
It's going to be the damn Warriors. Wait and see. They're going to trade a couple of those rookies, a couple of draft picks, and boom. And well, then this team's going to be even more loaded with Klay coming on Christmas Day. And then, I mean, imagine that team. Imagine that team for a minute.
By far a league best 13-point differential. Mm. They've outscored their opponents by 13 points on the year, by far the most. In the East, the team with the best point difference, best point differential are the Chicago Bulls at 4.8. A full, what, 8 points lower, 8.2 points lower than what the Warriors are doing?
Yeah, that's crazy.
In the West, the Warriors are 13, Jazz 9.2, Suns 6.4, and that's it. And it comes down to the Clippers like 1 point better. Man, the West is stinky. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We got some Tuesday trivia coming up. Draven is guaranteed victory.
Mm. Let's go.
I'll have to think of the stakes of what he's going to owe me if they don't win since he guaranteed it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll have to pick me up lunch and breakfast or something for the next couple of days.
I'll just do a punishment. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. Good one. And look at he's trolling the audience. That's sad. Making a joke out of the audience. Hour three coming at you. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.